Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers do not win any Silver Sluggers, another left-handed pitcher linked to the Dodgers, and we take on a couple questions from you listeners. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 this is Locked On Dodgers. I'm Vincent Perio Chavez Reen Fiends. Here with me is Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and together we are Locked On Dodgers, the Daily Dodgers podcast that's here for you. We want to thank you for making us your first listen every day and remind you that we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Just search Locked On Dodgers. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue. Jeff, no hard news from the Dodgers, but still some stuff to talk about, namely that the Dodgers are once again shut out of award season.
Yeah, no Silver Sluggers for the Dodgers. And again, I think a lot of it comes down to their versatility because, you know, I think Max Muncy and Freddie Freeman, quality wise, were probably neck and neck, pretty close, depending on which metric you look at. Muncy led in some, Freeman led in others. But then the fact is, Freeman had 256 more plate appearances as a first baseman than Muncy did between, you know, playing, I think, 17 more games anyway, and then Muncy playing some of his time at second and third base. You know, basically he had 60% more plate appearances as a second baseman than Muncy did, or as a first baseman than Muncy did. So, and Muncy was probably the only realistic one with a good shot. And, you know, he probably still would have won it if not for his late season swoon a little bit. But, I guess Will Smith maybe had a chance, but that was probably Buster Posey's Silver Slugger to lose. So overall, a little disappointing, but not super surprising.
Yeah, it's one of those where maybe if they had put Trey Turner at second base, he would have beat out Ozzie Albies, but that would have been dependent. I don't know how this really goes because Joey Gallo was a candidate at DH and he played mostly right field all year. So I'm not sure what the qualifications are exactly for how you get into a spot, but yeah.
Fact that Justin Turner was nominated at second base tells us there aren't any hard and fast qualifications. And so, you know, it is what it is. And I think maybe they leave it a little bit too much up to the voters. So you end up with things like, you know, guys getting nominated at positions they don't really play and stuff.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I don't think anyone's going to lose any sleep over it. Now that Buster Posey is not going to play anymore, that probably opens up Will Smith for the future to kind of run the show on the NL, I would imagine. Realmuto's not going to get any better, and Will Smith's already pretty good. So that'll open up for him. I guess real quick, we didn't talk about this before the show, but I just remembered that this kind of became a thing today is that MLB, I guess, is kind of – I don't know how deep it is, but thinking about tying Fangraphs war into determining how much players make when they're younger. I don't know if you put out any thoughts in there into the Twitterverse, but do you have any hard thoughts on this at all?
I actually wrote a whole article about this for Baseball Essential a couple of years ago, not so much from this context of, I get the impression this would replace arbitration. And so it would be, okay, this coming year, you're going to make this much because this is how good you were last year. The interesting thing, you know, there's a few problems with it. One is that there's no way in the world that they would actually tie it to the actual value of a win, because really a win is worth like $8 million. And so if a player really had a chance to say, you know, I put up a 2.5 win season as a rookie, I'm going to make $20 million my first arbitration year, then maybe I think the players union would probably go for it. But I assume that this would be a smaller dollar amount per win. And then you've got the fact that tying it to one specific stat from one specific website when, I mean, there's three different versions of war. And so choosing one over the others and, you know, everybody has different preferences on different ones. I actually prefer, you know, it depends on what you're looking at, what I prefer, which WAR for. I did see a lot of people saying WAR is not a real stat anyway. I don't really necessarily buy that, because I think it overall is a decent approximation of how good a player actually is. But realistically, you know, the article I wrote a few years ago was more along the lines of have a bonus pool that every team contributes to. And so players still get their regular salaries and then this bonus pool. So younger players would have a chance to earn some extra money. And, you know, if you said $1 million per win, then you could have a young guy, even a rookie, who say, you know what? Yeah, I made the league minimum, but I also earned $3 million in WAR bonuses or whatever. But I think one of the big issues with that and with this proposal, or, you know, leaked potential proposal from MLB, is deciding what stat to base it on. And I don't think you're ever going to get agreement from enough people to say, okay, this is the version of WAR we like, or do we even like WAR enough to base it on that, you know? And, you know, should it be different for pitchers or whatever? And so I don't think it was a serious idea. I think MLB maybe threw it out there knowing it would get rejected, but just kind of for the PR game of being able to say, look, we're trying.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of things like this that come out here in the next, hopefully 2 months, but probably longer. You know, we've already seen a thing during the season about a salary floor and maybe harsher penalties for luxury tax in order to help teams pay for that. There's going to be a lot of stuff, but yeah, tying it to a stat that's created by a website, probably not going to be the strong case there. But like I said, we're going to see a lot of different things here and there. I've already seen a lot of people say that the universal DH is not going to end up happening. I would have, you know, all because it's bargaining chips, and yeah, there's different ways to go about it, but I can't see that specific thing happening. But we're going to see a lot of little proposals or leaks or whatever the case is. And at the end of the day, I don't know, we're going to talk about it when it happens, but realistically, it's probably not going to happen anyways.
Yeah, there's part of me that thinks there's no way they're going to do this without the universal DH, until I remember that for the 2021 season, both sides wanted the universal DH and they still somehow didn't have it, which leads me to believe that it would be folly to underestimate Major League Baseball's ability to shoot itself in the foot and not get what it wants just because it had to throw a hissy fit because the other side wanted it too.
Yeah, so that remains to be seen. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about another left-handed starter that the Dodgers have been linked to. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. I love Thanksgiving. There's no buts about it. Thanksgiving is a great holiday. People, you know, Christmas is cool, but, you know, I like to get through Thanksgiving first. And there's something that's new. Well, maybe not new, but new that you can bring to this Thanksgiving. That's Built Bars. Built Bars are the new holiday dessert. You don't have to feel guilty about it after. You can still go all out on Thanksgiving food and then have a nice little light snack that'll fill you up on the back end with this dessert. They got a bunch of different flavors. They're all only 130, 180 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs, plenty of protein, all covered in chocolate. They are the true Thanksgiving dessert that we are trying to make a thing. So why not get some Built Bars and bring it to your family gatherings this Thanksgiving? Because you know your aunt and uncles haven't tried Built Bars yet, and you know that they need to. Plus, Built Bar has Black Friday, and it's always a huge event with a bunch of surprises. So this month of November, make it about Built Bar. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. I want to thank you once again for making us your first listen every single morning, weekday morning, that is, or weekends if you happen to miss a day. We are free and available on all platforms. Just search Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So another left-handed pitcher Dodgers have been linked to, Tim B. Healy. Tim Healy on Twitter said that Steven Matz was at the GM meetings and met with some teams that were interested in signing him. He listed the Red Sox, Angels, Dodgers, and Cardinals among those in on him. And he mentioned that he might sign this month before the CBA expires. This was on the morning of Thursday. So that was already after the Dodgers assigned Andrew Heaney. So it's not a late thing that maybe won't happen because of the Heaney signing. This is already after it happened. And yeah, Jeff, I don't know if you have any strong Steven Matz thoughts.
Not strong. Steven Matz used to excite me when he came up. He was really good. He was a highly touted prospect with the Mets. He's a nice guy. I have his phone number, so I could probably get him on the podcast if he signs with the Dodgers. So that would be good. And he's shown signs throughout his career of being a good pitcher. The big thing is he's never struck out as many guys as they thought he would. And, you know, maybe the Dodgers could get that figured out. The funny thing is his best strikeout rate was also his worst overall season, because it was also by far his highest home run rate. That was in the shortened 2020 season. I mean, he only threw 30 innings, but he struck 36 batters, which is his only season over a batter per inning of strikeouts. But he also allowed 4.1 home runs per nine innings, which is, yeah, that's 14 home runs in 30 innings, 30 and two thirds innings. So that wasn't good. But, you know, Steven Matz definitely strikes me as a Dodgers type pitcher, of the kind of guy who they might think that they can identify something. Basically, Andrew Heaney part two, and maybe with health issues and whatever, or just effectiveness, or if they are thinking about a six man rotation, maybe at times, you know, it wouldn't hurt to have two guys like that who are similar, you know, lefties who haven't lived up to their potential, who maybe they think they can unlock some stuff, and have them for 20 or 22 starts each over the course of the season, you know, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they really can figure something out. He actually had a decent season with the Blue Jays this past year, a little bit of a bounce back year. His underlying numbers weren't actually really much better than some of his less good seasons. But, you know, whatever it is, the Dodgers might be able to find something. And I'm not opposed to it. I like Steven Matz for what he is. If it was thinking about bringing him in as their number one starter, I wouldn't be happy about it. But if it's taking a flyer on a guy for a fifth starter role, I don't have any issue with that.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. The Dodgers, as we saw this past year, the more starting pitchers, the better at this point. They came into last year with, like 8-9 starting pitchers and ended up having 2.5 once it got down to the playoffs. So the more guys, the better. He's a guy who, I mean, he's thrown at least 29 starts in three of the last 4 years, with the only other year being last year where there was not a chance to make 30 starts or 29 starts. But he's a guy who, you know, had a pretty good year. His FIP was actually a little lower than his ERA. He's basically, you know, I mean, he was in the AL East, which was, you know, a gauntlet last year. There was four teams that had, 88 or 90 wins, whatever, 90 plus wins. So he's a guy that can come in and, like I said, come in and do well. You're going to face the D-backs and Rockies two times a year, or a few times a year. You're going to pitch in different bigger ballparks a little bit. Even the Dodger Stadium has become a little bit of a home run haven the last few years. It's still generally a pitcher's park to a certain extent. So same with Heaney, you know, kind of the same thing. He's not a guy that you know, you look at his Baseball Savant page and there's nothing really that stands out. But like I said, he had a pretty good year last year. He's got a good mix of pitches. I mean, he has four pitches that he throws on a somewhat consistent basis. He kind of abandoned the four-seam fastball a few years ago, but he has still four pitches beyond that. And stuff that the Dodgers could probably work with: sinker, changeup, curveball, slider. That's a good mix that you would imagine the Dodgers have plans for. He can still ramp it up to about 95 miles an hour when he needs to, and all his other pitches, you know, play off that. So he's a guy that you could get excited about, just in the sense that you think the Dodgers can help him out. You would think they have some ideas for, like Andrew Friedman said, those levers to pull and change things around. And yeah, that's kind of where we're at for the Dodgers. If they can sign a bunch of these little guys, like smaller term guys, 1 year deals, very cheap right here before the CBA expires, then they'll be in a good little mix in case, you know, the lockout ends up taking them a lot deeper and maybe people get desperate after that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Matz definitely seems like a lever guy. And, you know, the other three teams listed that are interested, the Cardinals, Red Sox, and Angels, aren't surprising at all, because all three of those teams definitely need pitching. And so, you know, it makes sense that's who's looking at them, because those are four teams that hope to contend and could use some pitching.
Yeah. Another player that is also still on the market, judging from his Twitter feed, is Josh Reddick, who wanted to make sure to let everyone know that he is, in fact, not retired. Capital not. Jeff, were you aware that Josh Reddick was not retired?
Yeah, you know, as far as I know, Barry Bonds has never officially retired either. I joked on Twitter, it's always a good sign for your career when you have to publicly declare that you are not retired. If people thought you were, maybe that tells you that maybe you should be, you know, but, Josh Reddick was, really bad for a really bad Diamondbacks team this past year. And, he did give up a home run to Albert Pujols. So that was kind of fun. Yeah, Reddick, I don't know, like dude's a weasel face anyway. And then when you throw in just how unapologetic he is about 2017, like he seems basically proud that they cheated to win the World Series. And, you know, I understand, like, I feel a little bit bad for Alex Bregman, to the extent that you can feel bad for a guy like Alex Bregman, because he had only been in the league a year or two at that point in 2017. He didn't have the locker room clout to, you know, put a stop to anything. And, you know, but he benefited from it. And then by the time it came out, he was kind of the team leader. So he got tasked with apologizing for it. So he was kind of put in a tough situation. And, you know, so that kind of thing. But Josh Reddick was a veteran who benefited from it and is now proud of it. At least Alex Bregman did his half-hearted apology and then hasn't really said anything about it since then. You know, Reddick is proud of it. Carlos Correa is defiant about it, all that. It's like, just shut up, guys. You both got weasel faces. And Josh Reddick may not be retired, but I suspect he is unemployed and will remain that way for a while because he's bad at baseball.
Yeah, I would imagine that. In lighter news, Jock Peterson reunited with Clayton Kershaw and Austin Barnes. I guess it looked like an event for the Clayton Kershaw Foundation or that's what it's called. I forget what exactly the foundation is called, but Brad Paisley was performing. So
Kershaw's Challenge.
Yeah, Kershaw's Challenge. So Brad Paisley was performing. So, you know, good for him. And also Jack Peterson's pearls are now on display at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. So congrats to Jock on continuing his 2021 push into baseball prominence for a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. He looked less like an 80-year-old woman in the picture I saw of him with Kershaw and Barnes. So, that's good, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what to say about Jock. I love Jock, but I am not as enamored with the Jock persona that came out the last month or two as a lot of people seem to be. I did want to mention.
Oh, we know why.
Because I don't like fun.
Yes.
Yeah. I like fun in certain ways. I just don't necessarily think. I don't see what's fun about that. Like, it seems like, I don't know. I did want to point out that Jock Peterson, in keeping with his career norm, other than 2020, he has now every season of his career, he has had exactly one good postseason series each year and the rest were bad, with 2020 being the only exception. Every other year, for as long as Jocktober was a thing, he was actually a guy who would be good for one series. And that was the case this year. And the one series he was good for happened to be the one he only got three plate appearances and they were all pinch hitting. You know, that Jocktober is back. And by Jocktober, I mean Jock being exactly the same player he is in the regular season, which has value.
Yeah. All right. We're going to come back, answer a few questions from you listeners. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Bet Online is back and better than ever. And you got to check it out. They got a brand new web interface. They got a brand new look for them for the 2021 season. They got more props, more odds, and more lines than ever before. More ways for you to try to make some money this football and basketball season. And Bet Online remains your number one spot for all that football and basketball action in 2021. Head over to the new website on your laptop or mobile device and sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. All you got to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. One more time, I want to thank you for making us your first listen, making Locked On Dodgers that first listen every single weekday morning. We're free and available on all platforms, especially on YouTube. Just search Locked On Dodgers and you'll find us. Okay, Jeff, so We have a lot of questions out from the mailbag we had last week. We're going to get into a couple right here that stood out to us a little bit. First one comes from Kevin, our pal, that Blue Goon 82. He says, should the Dodgers rely on fringe prospects like Raleigh McKinstry Rex again next year, or should they go the free agency route to improve the bench? He mentions guys like Wilmer Flores, Mark Canha, and Josh Harrison. Wilmer Flores specifically, he's back with the Giants. I think they picked up his option, or he picked up his option. Either way, he's back with Giants. But we kind of talked about this a little bit with McCutcheon last week, but I think we're in agreement that if they can maybe go the free agent route, because we didn't quite see what we wanted from some of these prospects. And there's not necessarily any specific guys that you can really count on in 2022 as of right now.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And, you know, we talked a little bit early last season about how it seemed like the divide between AAA and the majors was bigger than ever. And whether that was because of the lack of a minor league season the year before or whatever. But if it was because they didn't have a season the previous year, well, maybe that divide will get smaller again. And maybe some of these guys who raked at AAA and were really bad in the majors might be ready for the majors next year. And so, you know, I wouldn't rule it out that, you know, Luke Raley could be a useful bench bat. Zach Rex, you know, eventually going to get his first major league hit, and it could be with the Dodgers in 2022. You know, that those guys, McKinstry, I think definitely his injury derailed him. I think he definitely has, because he has that positional flexibility and everything, I would expect McKinstry to be a part of the Dodgers bench plan. But yeah, overall, I do think they're going to be looking at possibly adding free agency. Whether that is, you know, Mark Canha is an interesting guy. He definitely has some skills that the Dodgers might like. Josh Harrison. I haven't heard about Josh Harrison much in the last couple of years. I don't know if he's still any good.
He kind of had a comeback year this year.
Did he? And he's definitely that, you know, Dodgers type of guy who plays on the field. And, you know, there's a lot to like about Josh Harrison. You know, he could be reunited with Andrew McCutcheon with the Dodgers, you know. But overall, yeah, I do think that I don't see much chance that the Dodgers are just going to go into the season thinking, okay, hopefully these AAA guys are ready to hold down our bench, because that's not how the Dodgers operate.
Yeah, it's a matter of, and also some guys getting healthy. If Edwin Rios is healthy, you know, that adds a bat to it. Depending what they do with Matt Beatty, you know, that's a bat who maybe could have gotten a little more playing time. And then when he kind of did, it felt a little unfair because he was kind of thrust into a role there in the postseason. It's also a matter of what they do. If they bring back Seager and they already have Trey Turner, that essentially pushes Lux to some type of utility role or bench role, depending on what they do in the outfield. So, you know, there's a lot of questions on how they can go about it. They can go about it with more top tier talent. You know, we talked about a Starling Marte type, getting him in the outfield that maybe pushes Pollock to the bench a little bit, or maybe Pollock gets traded. And, you know, there's a lot of, not for lack of a better term, levers that the Dodgers can pull, not just with pitchers, but in terms of what this offseason can be like. But yeah, I don't imagine that they're counting on any of these AAA/4A guys to kind of, you know, I guess maybe you can enter the season like that, but maybe they go a Braves route and try to pick up spare parts there at midseason if they end up needing it, or for a stretch run, whatever the case is. You know, the Braves might have opened up a little bit there in terms of, you know, just go out and see what happens and see what sticks. And it doesn't cost you too much. I mean, they went out and got Danny Duffy. It didn't cost them too much. He didn't end up pitching. So they basically gave away, you know, a slower tier prospect for a guy that never played for them, but, you know, that's just the risk they wanted to take, and they tried to take and get away with it, and it didn't happen. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to go about it, but I don't, like I said, I either imagine they're going to strengthen the top tier players that pushes everyone down a little bit, or they're going to strengthen from within. But you know, with Edwin Rios coming back, that already adds to it. You know, Chris Taylor is the big one too, because if he's not there, then, you know, now you have Lux and McKinstry maybe filling a different type of role, or maybe they go after someone in the Chris Taylor type role. So there's a lot to get into, but I don't think they're going to stick with what they have in the organization right now.
Yeah. One of the things we didn't really touch on much, but Canha and Harrison and McCutcheon, for that matter, are all right-handed hitters, and the Dodgers right now are very lefty heavy. You know, you're talking about Beatty and Rios and McKinstry and Rayleigh and Lux, you know, all those guys hit left-handed. And so it definitely, they don't have, you know, they traded or they let DJ Peters go to the Rangers. And so, you know, there's not like they have any really top right-handed hitting prospects who they're expecting to contribute in 2022. And so I do think they're going to have to add a righty or two for their bench probably. So.
Yeah.
The other question we want to touch on is from Johnny at JD234218. He says, any chance we get a third baseman so Justin Turner can be the DH? Of course, this would presume that the CBA gets done and they do have the universal DH. But third baseman, what do you think, Vince?
Yeah, I would imagine that if the universal DH is a thing, then obviously Justin Turner gets pushed to the forefront of maybe being that guy that's more of an everyday type DH. And it's also a matter of, you know, what they think of Corey Seager and if they do go after him and you know, if they sign him and say, hey, we want you to be a third baseman and Justin Turner, you know, third base, shortstop, whatever the case is, Justin Turner will be third base DH and then Lux will kind of be shortstop, you know, bench guy if they need him. And then Turner stays at second so they can go that route. I do think if there's a possibility for them to get a big guy that can play third base, then they can go after it. A guy like, you know, you mentioned before we talked on here, Matt Chapman from the A's, who are a team that's selling right now. There's other guys that might be available. I guess, you know, Eduardo Escobar doesn't move the needle too much, but he can play third base and you know, would bring a bigger bat, I guess, than what they have right now. Or they can go the other way, where they can go after a guy that, and I don't think they'd go this way, but a guy that is a DH only, a Nelson Cruz type, although he's probably past where they wanted him to be if they had a DH like that. But a guy like that, you know, Justin Turner might be that guy because from what we saw last year, and, you know, he came in the best shape of his life and he looked really good at the beginning. And, you know, maybe the whole 30 was good enough to keep him on the field in the short term. But in the long term, you know, maybe it drained him a little bit of what he needed. Who knows? He's been hurt without whole 30 and with whole 30. So I don't think it matters too much. He just has, you know, one of those bodies that's a little bit older and needs a little more maintenance. But, you know, if they can keep him off his feet for 50 to 75 games instead of, you know, 20 to 30 games, and then that's going to help a lot. So I think they're just like every offseason, they're open to whatever it is to improve the team, whether that's from the top trickling down, or whether if that's from underneath and fortifying the bottom. But I wouldn't close any doors on any third baseman that are available or become available here in the next few months.
Yeah, and we know that Justin Turner in the past was willing to move to first base. Who was it that they were looking at going after that?
Arenado last year.
And Rendon.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it would be interesting to see if they did say, okay, Turner, you're our main DH, but also you're going to play once a week or so at third base to give our third baseman a break, once a week at first base, you know, to give either Muncy or the second baseman a break with Muncy shifting over second base, you know, try to turn Turner. Obviously Turner's not going to play shortstop. He could maybe hold down second base with the way shifts are and everything. He plays a lot of second base position as a third baseman anyway. He could probably hold down second base. Okay. He was, you know, nominated for a Silver Slugger at second base. So that must mean something. So, you know, I could see him being a guy who plays two or three infield spots once in a while, but is mostly the DH and obviously get some occasional days off for him too. But yeah, you know, Justin Turner, I am intrigued to see what he could do offensively if he was able to stay healthy and, you know, stay rested the whole season because he didn't have to worry about defense. So he definitely seems to be entering that DH phase of his career.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. A lot of this is we'll see, but, you know, we can only give our deepest thoughts and analysis. And Andrew Friedman might go a completely different way than what we talk about. So it's just a matter of playing through this offseason. We got less than a month until maybe the offseason gets put on a pause, more than likely gets put on a pause. So we're going to get all the speculation out right now, because after that, it'll be purely speculation with maybe no chance of actual things happening until they figure things out on the player and owner side.
Yeah. So yeah. We'll see. Unfortunately, there's going to be some unpleasant things to talk about this offseason probably.
All right, Jeff, that's that'll be it for the week for us. Unless you have something else you want to add.
Just one last thing. So my office that I record in is right below my son's bedroom, and the air conditioning vent is above my head, and it's right below the vent that goes up into his bedroom. And so he can often hear me at night, and he wasn't feeling well tonight. So I was feeling bad that he was, I might keep him awake. And so I briefly discussed with my other kids the possibility of doing an ASMR episode today,
where I just talk like this. I'm just going to talk really quietly right into the microphone, and we're going to call it Locked On Sexy Dodgers. So I just want to say you're all welcome that I didn't go with Locked On Sexy Dodgers.
Yeah, thank you for sparing us. Maybe we'll do that one day. You know, if we do have a lockout, we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about, and we'll get into it.
Let's practice, Vince. Come on. Give me some ASMR.
I can't wait to go do that.
Shaking my gum, does that help?
Yeah, see,
we'll all right, all let's the, get all out the of sights here, and
sounds. All the sights and sounds. Thank you for listening. This has been Locked On Dodgers. Locked
On Sexy Dodgers.
This has been Locked On Dodgers. Please, if you're not listening every single day, please try to listen every single day. Try to make us your first listen every morning. I know some people were saying that some episodes were getting published a little later. I think we got that under control now, but if not, make sure to let us know. Where you can let us know about that is on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. You can let Jeff know at Snydog on Twitter. You can let me know at Vince Samperio. You can always leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 323-863-5625. Or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Turn your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you on Monday.